The text is the gospel reading, the last part of it, where Jesus explains the parable. Then Jesus left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." Here ends the text. Last week, the parable of the sower showed us how the good seed failed 75% of the time in the fallen world, but how powerfully the 25% worked. This week, Jesus takes us out into the world. He says in the explanation, "The field is the world." Jesus here addresses the problem of evil, which is succinctly expressed by the servant's two questions. Where then did the weeds, the evil, come from? And do you want us to pull the evil, the weeds, up now? Jesus says the problem of evil has to do with the sowing, growing, and weeding of weeds among wheat. Where does evil come from? In a world owned, controlled, directed, empowered by God, where does evil come from? In the parable, where do the weeds come from? This is a very hard question for human reason. The servants in the parable are perplexed by it. They know the field belongs to their master. He has total power over it. They know he would only sow good seed. What farmer purposely sows his field with weeds? So, where did the evil weeds come from? That's our dilemma too. And the correct response is to go to Jesus, just like the servants in the parable go right to their master. We're not to come up with our own explanation here. We're not to try to make sense out of evil in the world. We're to listen to what Jesus says about it. Jesus says that the evil is not from God. God only sows good seed. So when a drunk driver kills a family, people are wrong to say, "How could God do this?" God is not the one who sowed this world with drunkenness, serial killers, child molesters, drug lords, or Muslim terrorists. The enemy of God is the one who did this, says Jesus. He literally says, a person who is an enemy. In the explanation, Jesus names him the devil. A personal being, not some nebulous force or wicked energy, is responsible for the weeds among the wheat. That's Jesus' simple answer to why there is evil in the world. Genes don't do it. Environment doesn't do it. God certainly doesn't do it. His enemy, the devil, does. And look how sly he is. He slips in under cover of darkness to sow his evil. Jesus' servants, you and I, we don't see him come in or go out. As far as we know, God's the creator. God's the preserver. God's the controller of the world. That's why our reason feels compelled to blame God for acts of terror, despotic regimes killing their citizens, and people who shoot up schools. The devil's cunning is also why evil takes us by surprise. His evil seeds grow secretly among us, looking very much like us, until they actually bear the wicked fruit. How many times do friends, neighbors, relatives of a person who does some evil act say, "But they were so nice, they were so normal, they're so helpful"? How many churches have been stunned when their pastor or prominent member is exposed as a weed? Where do the weeds come from? They're sown by the devil. But why does God allow them to grow? This question has always bothered God's people. David in Psalm 37 says, "I have seen a violent and wicked man spreading himself like a luxuriant tree in its native soil." You've seen that too. Evil men, obviously sons of the evil one, go unpunished and prosper as if God's field was their native soil. And we see only one option, as God's servants do in the parable. Weeds ought to be pulled up now. According to human reason, that's the only option. Who lets weeds grow in their garden? God does. The Lord of the field of the world says he doesn't want them pulled up now. Not because he's afraid, not because they're more powerful than he, not because he doesn't love the wheat enough, but because he loves us so very much. The only reason Jesus gives for not pulling up the wheat now is for the sake of the wheat. He doesn't say, you may pull up the wheat with them. No, he says, as the American Standard, the RSV, and the New King James translate, you will root up the wheat. It's hard to distinguish weeds from plants, especially in the early stages. This is especially true of the particular weed that Jesus names here. Not even an expert can tell until it actually forms a head of grain. Even then, pulling weeds can still do damage. You don't know how intertwined the root system of the good and the evil plants are. Okay, that explains why you and I aren't to weed the world. We can't know absolutely who are weeds and who is wheat. We can't see into men's hearts or their futures. But God sure can. The harvester Jesus sends out are perfect angels directed by him. They surely know who is and who always will be weeds. But this is part of God's hidden will, which is not given for us to know or to act on. We act on God's revealed will, that it's not the time for final judgment. The day of grace is not over. There's still time for the worst weed to be converted into wheat. As in all the parables, there's an element of the unreal here. In farming, weeds never become wheat. But in life, sons of evil ones do become sons of the kingdom. In fact, we all start out as sons of the evil one. We all start out as weeds. But then the good news of Jesus keeping the law of God in our place and being punished for our not keeping it comes to us. It's either preached into our ears or applied with water on our bodies as babies. Now is the season for weeds to become wheat. Now is the time of divine patience, when for the sake of the weeds that will be converted, God tolerates the rest. As incredible as it seems, some of the worst weeds that we see, some of the biggest, ugliest, thorniest weeds, will be converted. Last week we heard how the slave trader John Newton was. Had the Lord weeded his field anywhere before that man's 39th year, weeds would have been pulled up, all right, but a plant would have been lost. But if that's the case, shouldn't we in the church let the impenitent sinners stay in our midst? Shouldn't those who show they despise the means of grace by not coming to hear the word or receive the sacrament be regarded as active members? Shouldn't those living in the sin of living together be permitted to go on growing among us? That conflicts with Matthew 18, where Jesus commands the impenitent be regarded as outside the church, and 1 Corinthians 5, where Paul commands that they be judged. How does that not conflict with our text? Because Jesus tells us the field is the world, it's not the church. Christians weed the church, not the world. So far we've seen where weeds come from and why God tolerates them. Now we ask, when will the weed problem, the problem of evil, be solved? When will the sowing and the growing stop and the weeding begin? Jesus says that will take place at the end of the age. The problem of evil isn't going to be solved by bigger prisons, harder judges, more cops. All those are fine ways for society to combat crime, but they aren't ways to defeat the evil one. His wicked weeds are going to continue to pop up, but not forever. Jesus, the owner of the field of the world, has a day set for weeding. His angels are poised right now to descend upon the earth to pull up the weeds and throw them into everlasting fire. Not one of the weeds will escape. Not one of them will come back. No matter how much a weed may look like a wheat right now, God knows what it really is. Same with the wheat. God knows those who belong to him. That one grain of wheat is going to be lost. Christ brings the entire harvest home. Though his wheat may have committed just as terrible sins as did the weeds, though they may be weak and frail plants, they are rooted in the blood of Christ through faith, and his blood cleanses them from all sin. That blood has the power to make wheat out of weeds, and all the wheat is harvested. But it's not fear of not being harvested that gets the wheat down. It's the fact that the weeds are continually being sown and growing. It's the fact that the text says the enemy came and sowed weeds over the wheat. We are surrounded on all sides by them, and you know weeds grow faster than wheat. They grow so fast that they block out the sun. That's S-O-N, not S-U-N. The weeds block out our view of God's grace and mercy towards us for Jesus' sake. In the final judgment, the weeds will be removed, and then we will see how things really are. Then, says Jesus, the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. What about now? What about today? Have we no joy? Have we no shining until the sowing and growing of weeds is done and the weeding started? You won't have any joy or glow if you persist in thinking that God doesn't know, God doesn't care, or isn't able to do anything with the problem of evil. No. He sees the weeds much more clearly than you and I do. And he cares so much for the wheat that he tolerates the weeds. It's not that he's unable to root out the weeds, he's unwilling. I said all that already. The parable itself gives us the clue to what trips us Christians up. When the Lord says, let both grow together, the word translated let is the same word that's translated forgive in other places. Many, both weeds and wheat, mistake being left alone for being forgiven. Even if you translate allow, which is acceptable, many think the allowance of God is the acceptance of God. No, the Lord allows both weeds and wheat to keep on growing, but not for the same reason. Those outside of the church who try to address the problem of evil don't ever see the central point that Jesus makes. No, this is what they say. If your God can't or won't do what I think he should be able to do when I think he should do it, then he is no God. Well, because a father doesn't do exactly what a child wants when he wants it done, does that mean he ceases to be father or necessarily even ceases to be a loving father? Of course not. The truth is, the problem of evil that twists people into knots is no problem for God. Evil is no more of a problem for God than that weed which you keep walking by is. You can pull that evil weed up anytime you want to. You know that although it's bigger and taller than your good plants, they're really in no danger from it. In fact, if the weed was a real threat to your precious plants, you would pull that up in an instant. Our gracious, all-powerful God in Christ deals with evil in the world more easily and more wisely than we deal with weeds among the wheat. Amen. Now the peace of God which passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.